God.
We just worship your holy name,
thank
Father
you, Jesus.
God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Just praise him. Hallelujah.
Praise,
praise you, Father God. Worship you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus.
You're the Lord of all lords. You're the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, the wonderful Counselor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Praise you, Father God. Worship you, Jesus.
Glory and honor. Praises to you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We praise you. We magnify
you.
What a privilege, what an honor it is to magnify the Holy Son of
God.
Thank you, Lord. I thank you. I praise you. We magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah. To the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. Oh, God, we love you. We worship you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Wow. There's a strong anointing in here right now.
Glory to God.
It's a strong anointing. My hands are buzzing. And I, there's angels that were just swirling around up there. The praise and worship. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's a real God. And we need to worship him. Worship. See, that worship was coming from our spirits.
Amen.
You can't just sing words.
Amen.
You have to come worship him in spirit and in truth. And it's not just a bunch of words that somebody made up, even when you're singing.
Amen.
It's truth. It's the truth
Amen.
Of the word.
Amen.
And we sang the truth of the word of God this morning. He said, they that worship me in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
They shall know him.
Yep. Amen.
He is in them. Hallelujah. Huge, huge difference between that and just singing some songs.
Amen.
Huge. And that's where we that need to come. And that's when the anointing can start working in your body, bring healing in your body.
Your kids can come in, your family,
all
money
kinds
can
of
come
things.
In.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Lord. You know, you can be seated. Okay, I'm taking the praise and worship in Ken's, but boy, am I full of preach. Whatever. But, you know, we... Yeah, okay, we're going to receive the tithes and offerings, but not right now for a second here. You know, we sang, he's a faithful God. And when we sang that, he said, just tell him some of the things. Okay, I need to tell you this just because of all the things in my life. Sometimes we need to rehearse where he's been faithful. Gosh, I'm on the verge of tears. let's see. Okay, I'll just start there. I was born in 1940, and I'm 80 years old. And so I even remember World War II. I was a little girl, but I remember hiding in the closet because the planes were coming over, and there was no radar. And then I can remember when I was 4.5 or 5. Well, I don't even have to remember that. Everybody told me about it too, but I remember it. I had a ruptured appendix. And, you know, in those days, that was 1944, 1945, there was no antibiotics. And they didn't know what was wrong with me. They thought I had the flu. And so I come from Dodge, Nebraska, a little town of 600 some, and there was a doctor, Dr. Serb, I remember his name, and he just says, well, give her an enema, she has the flu, to get rid of all the stuff. Well, that was the worst thing, that's when it burst. And then, because they didn't know what was wrong with me, I got double pneumonia in both lungs, and I had peritonitis, which is inflammation of your lining of your digestive system, and the actual... gangrene had set in, and pneumonia in both lungs. Well, finally, they took me to West Point Hospital, West Point, Nebraska, and they did surgery. They figured out what it was, And I can remember they had to do a spinal because they couldn't give me anything through the lungs because I had pneumonia in both lungs. And there was no antibiotics. They didn't, there was no antibiotics then. but one of my cousin and one of my sisters is 16 years older than I am. She's still alive. She's 96. And she's in the nursing home in West Point. Her mind is clear as a bell. But anyway, they had heard through the nursing program at St. Joseph's in Omaha, that they were experimenting with this stuff on the soldiers in World War II. And it was working to prevent infection, and they were living instead of dying of infection from being shot. And so they got a hold of it for me in West Point, antibiotics. And I can remember getting shots and crying. I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. All I did was color. For 2 weeks. but anyway, I mean, the faithfulness of God. People, I had all the things, the symptoms of things that people get from having a ruptured appendix nowadays, and they die nowadays from one of them. And I look back on it and I go, God, you were faithful to me. He healed me. He did, because I shouldn't have lived. you know, I mean, just some of the things. Okay, well, then I got married in 1962, graduated from Creighton University with a degree in nursing, a Bachelor of Science degree in nursing. And my husband, we went straight into the Air Force because he had honestly, God told me to say all this. everybody had to have their little time in the service, 2 years at least at that time. So he graduated and went straight into the Air Force. That was Grand Forks, North Dakota. In 64 he got out. 1965, we were living in Portland, Oregon, where he's from. And he died. Came home and he died. No, it wasn't you. Nope. But anyway, so I was left with two children. They were 10 months apart, two girls. And he was faithful to me then. So I moved in with my mom in Dodge, Nebraska. And then I met Ken. Somebody fixed us up. And he married me with two girls, and now we've been married 52 years. 53! When we were married 50, I said 53. Oh, gosh. Anyway, April 29th, yeah. Just some things. I even remembering my dad, I can remember him. He had cancer of the bones. It had metastasized from the prostate. And this was 1954, and I can remember him, I was 14 years old, screaming in pain during the night. It would wake me up, and, you know, they didn't have the anything then, too, and I can remember him, he died when I was 14, almost right close to Christmas. But just, God has always been there, always faithful. Now, I was in a denominational church, but I always had this little thing about God. I used to write him letters all the time. Never really heard the word Jesus much from the denomination I was in. So then my oldest daughter, and I was married to Ken then, she went to junior high. She went to country school and then went to junior high, and she got on drugs. And I'm talking... telling you LSD and drank Everclear, stuff like that. I, being stupid, not coming from any, I mean, really dumb about stuff like that. All the time, I mean, we went to church all the time, every Sunday, but, and she thanks me just for the fact that she knew God. She knew God, and she cried out to him for help. And all of a sudden, one night, I saw all this marijuana stuff in her bedroom, but I didn't know what it was. But I knew it wasn't right. It was weird looking stuff to me, you know, pipes, stole, whatever, bongs. I don't even know all the terminology, but, and we all were screaming at each other. Ken worked at Hormel's, had to get up at 4:30 in the morning. He went to bed at 11. I was pacing the floor, smoking a cigarette. And my daughter ran in the bathroom, slammed the door shut. And all of a sudden she came out and she says, Mom. And I said, what? Well, this is different than the yelling we were doing. And she said, I had a vision of Jesus on the cross. And she knelt in the bathroom and she said, God, help me. And she saw the blood drip on her. And she came out and she was born again. But she had a teacher at the high school that was witnessing to her. And I, some of you heard this before. That teacher did get fired for witnessing to the kids. But I thank God she witnessed to me too. The teacher called me up because Michelle asked her to. And all of a sudden though, when Michelle came out, she started calling all of her friends, her druggie friends, and she said, we can't party anymore. Well, to me, a party was a birthday party and that kind of stuff. But I figured out what she was talking about later. And she said, I can't be with you anymore. I can't be with you anymore. I can't friend around with you anymore. And from then on, and I went just like that, I thought, this is what I've always been looking for. It's something hit me without anybody telling me much, except that teacher had. And from then on, I got born again. I know I did that night. And the rest of our family all received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Now, I can say we were good church growers. We went to church every Sunday and all the other days they told us to. We were active, but we had not known Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Our whole family got born again. She got delivered, and her and I would run around, you know, to preachers if anybody came to Omaha. There wasn't much at that time. But just even having gone to church all my life, but it wasn't, I was looking for more. I was looking for more. I got filled with the Holy Ghost shortly after that in the bathtub. I had never, ever heard of it. Never. No one ever talked about it to me. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I was singing to the Lord because I loved to sing, like we were singing songs like that. And all of a sudden I start singing in this strange language and I went, huh? What was that? But it felt good. And my hands were buzzing. I was in a bubble bath with my hands in the air. And I mean, you know, all it takes, God is looking for everyone. God loves everyone. You know, we were singing above when the oceans rise and the thunder roars and above the storm. You know, we are in a time of a storm. We are in a storm. I mean, I can remember when President Kennedy died. I was married to my other husband, and I remember we were on an Air Force base and it all closed down. You know, all the assassinations in the 60s, all the assassinations, all the stuff that happened. You know, and it's kind of fun to be this old, to look back on all you've seen, gone through, and have come through. And God will take you through. You know, there was always, but then I received Jesus. God was always there, but I received Jesus. And I always had this liking with Jesus or with God, something with God. You know, write him letters all the time when I was a teenager and stuff like that. Well, but the Bible says, and I just want to say this, the denomination I came from did not know any better to tell us that we needed to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I think that they do now. Then even when we were kind of wild about God. I'm just saying kind of wild. Our families actually were going to have someone come to our house, put us in straitjackets, and deprogram our mind. And they were doing that. That was in the 80s, in the early 80s. It was legal. It's no longer legal to do that. But someone warned my family, does well drilling and plumbing and stuff like that, and they were in this beef plant, which was a beef plant by West Point, and they were doing some repair work on the plumbing there, and my nephew was talking about how Ken and I, how we got goofy, and our whole kids got goofy, and we were doing all this weird stuff, and we left the church, and blah, 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 blah. And he says, we're thinking about getting these people in and just picking them up in their house, random someday, and putting them in straitjackets and deprogramming them, their mind. Oh, boy. So, you know what? I actually had a warning. He called us. He looked up our name, and he called us, and he warned us about that. And, I mean, my family loves me, but I can remember I talked to my oldest sister then, and I said, what is going on? Are you really going to do that? And then she says, well, we're just trying to help you. We love you. And she said, I says, but this is real. This is really real. And she says, well, where are you going to be buried? Who cares? I mean, and actually my first husband is buried there in Dodge, and I had a plot right next to him, but I cannot be buried there because I left that church. So anybody want that plot, you can have it. No, no, the whole thing I think I'm just getting after, it says in Romans 10:9-10, if you confess, you know what, let's put it up there. Romans 10:9-10, out of the King James. I didn't plan any of this. But I think I am going to read what I was going to also, because of the times. It says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. You know, Adam goofed up in the garden and sold out to Satan. And because of that, that sin comes down the line all the way to every single child. All you ones with your precious little babies, someday they will have to get born again. But I mean, if they would pass or die right now, they would go straight to heaven because they're innocent. But this is something I did not know. And because of Adam's sin that passes down to every human being, we have to become born again. It's vital. And it's not saying you have to come to this church, you have to be in this religion. It's not even religion at all. I don't call this religion. It's being having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so again, If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, you have to believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. You know, the Pharisees in the Old Testament, or right when Jesus was talking on the earth, that's actually, the Gospels are part of the Old Testament, because Jesus hadn't died on the cross. Well, the Pharisees, a lot of times they actually believed in Jesus, but they were afraid to say it with their mouth. They believed it in their heart, but you know what? They were not born again. Because you have to believe it in your heart, and you have to say it. You have to tell it. And that's where faith comes in. And do you know, every single thing you get from the Lord, healing, finances, every answer you get from the Lord, is that that's the way you get it. You say it with your mouth, you believe it in your heart. Amen. Well, I don't know, God, when we sang that song, He's faithful. Woo! Wow. Those words, He's always been faithful. And He's, you know what? Just the things that, you know, a lot of things have happened in all the other years, even since I've been born again. But God is faithful. He's always been there. He's preserved me, you know? And I've got to finish, I want to finish my race. And I want to finish it in divine health. I stood on this thing for this knee for years. Some of you heard me. I'm going to be healed. Well, you know what? It got to the point where I had to use, thank God, the resources of what God has taught doctors. Praise God for them. Okay, now, you know, there's a lot going on, isn't there? A lot going on in our country, and like Lacey said, we need to pray. When Jesus ascended back up into heaven, He turned around and gave us authority in the earth. People say God is in control. Well, if He's in control, He sure made a mess of things. No, He put man into control. And the only way you can put him into control, though, is to bind Satan and to loose whatever needs to be loose that's in heaven. It says, whatsoever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. In other words, there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no pain, there is no strife and division and depression and oppression. There is no lack in heaven. And when those things occur on earth, we are to take authority over them. Because it's the devil, there's a devil out there causing that stuff. Jesus defeated the devil. But we're the ones who need to take that authority over him and occupy the earth, the territory where Jesus defeated him. Just like soldiers do in a war. They've got to occupy the territory they won, or the enemy will come right back in and take it over. And we do that by binding and loosing and believing the word of God. But you've got to use the word of God also. Using the word of God is extremely important. You know, I just want to say this. If you've never received Jesus, all you do is say, you have to mean it though. Mean it in your heart and say, Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. In fact, maybe before I'm done, well, Jill, just say a prayer and just have everybody say it. I want to read a letter though first that I read at the beginning of the year. And it's actually from Jay Eberly in Iowa. It says, know that this is not the hour of darkness, but this is your time. The church is triumphant until the end, until she is caught up. If you happen to have looked recently, this was January. There is gross darkness upon the world. We see great hatred against the church, and that voice is getting louder and louder against God and his people. And you can see it has gotten, we're in June now. Woo! Whoever thought. Now, this is what we called this year, though, in December and in January, December of 2019 and January of 2020, a marvelous, one of the best years we've ever had. But so far, it looks, whoo! But really, God has been faithful to us, hasn't he? It's like we sang, there is no fear. We talked about, we're singing everything we were singing. God is a faithful God, and if you trust him, I never had any fear of COVID. I had two tests to see if I had COVID, and they were, well, one of them didn't work. The bag leaked, and so I had to take it over, and I was negative. I had to do that to have the surgery. But let's actually put Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2 up also. You need to see it. I don't hold mics very good, so if I'm poof. Forgive me. I'm going to read it. Let's see. Did you put? Yeah. Okay. And then after we say it in the King James, we'll do the Amplified. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Because you are born again, you are filled with light. You know, there's one thing I forgot to say in all that I wanted to say, because John 1:12 says, as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons and daughters of God. You see, he wasn't going to force it on anybody. The devil forces you, but God doesn't force it. You have to be born again. It doesn't work. You've got to have a heart for him and say it with your mouth. So it says, John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power and authority to become the sons and daughters of God. You have to receive him. My denomination didn't know that. I'm not mad at them, because they can't help it. That's what they learned in theological school. You have to, you know, you have to just be careful. Okay, it says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Because you are born again, light is in you. Jesus is in you. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. It's trying to. And gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, his people, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Amplified. Arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all peoples. But the Lord shall arise upon you. It says Jerusalem, but see, that's us now. We're Zion. We're Mount Zion. The church of the living God is composed. The real church. The real church is composed of all the people who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior throughout the earth. And there may be people in other denominations that are born again, that have received Jesus. They're all over the place, all over the world. You may even be born again and be in there and just don't know any better. But the whole point is taking him into your life, letting him take over your life. Oh, man. And since he did, I want to tell you something. Woo! Things have been wonderful. Gone places, done things. Woo! Get to preach the gospel. I love it. Wow, what an exciting life. Okay. Did I read that whole thing? Yeah. His glory shall be seen upon us. Okay. So know that this is not the hour of darkness, but this is your time. The church is triumphant until the end, until she's caught up. If you happen to look, there is gross darkness upon the world. We see great hatred against the church, and that voice is getting louder and louder against God and his people. But God is saying this is not their time. They are raging. They are imagining great things against us. But it is not their hour. It is the hour of the church, the born-again people throughout the world. In fact, it's our greatest hour. It's our hour to shine. He is calling us to arise and shine, for our light has come, and it's the time of the glory of the Lord rising upon us. The enemy has imagined some things. He has planned some things, but he will not be able to perform them. Put Psalm 21, verse 11 up. The church will tread down those things that the enemy has brought in 2020. Okay, got it up there? Yep. For they planned evil against you. They conceived a mischievous plot, which they are not able to perform or carry out. Yeah, they're carrying out some things, but you know what? None of this is going to come to fruition. Trust in the Lord. We sang that. He is a faithful God. Trust him, trust him, trust him. That's why I got so teary-eyed. Because, I mean, I trusted him so many times through things. Oh, wow. I believe that the church's greatest hour is upon us now. When I was a teenager, God gave me a vision about a great move of the Spirit, and we are now in what I saw. There is no time to be discouraged or afraid because of what we see in the world. This is the time of the greatest outpouring of the Spirit this world has ever seen. In this outpouring, we are told young men will see visions, and old men will dream dreams. Acts 2. You know what? Actually, you all do them no matter what, both. Dreams and visions. What is the purpose for these dreams and visions? The insights that will be given through these dreams, visions, and revelations of the Lord will equip us to prevail mightily in the spirit of faith and move in the miraculous. For a year, I've been calling for a greater manifestation of the spirit of the seeing and knowing. That's the one of the gifts of the Spirit, two of the gifts of the Spirit. A word of knowledge, a word of wisdom in the body of Christ. And it seems as if I had a divine urge in my spirit to do so, a great yearning. You can imagine the thrill that went through me when the Lord spoke to me these words. It will be a year marked by Acts 9 events that bring revelation to the true church, those who are born again, of how to prevail mightily through the miraculous. It will be the beginning of a great turn in the church. And I believe it's starting this year. Acts chapter 9 is the account of Paul having a divinely granted appearance of the Lord that brought him revelation of who Jesus was. Previously, he had only known Jesus after the flesh and persecuted him. But when God revealed his son to Paul, that revelation defeated the greatest persecution against the church in that day. That's what happened because Paul was the one persecuting him. He was killing Christians. He was separating families, killing the whole family, even children. And when he got born again, then the church was able to move onward. Okay. It actually changed the direction of the church. And that same thing is going to happen now. There is a battle going on. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. And their hate for everything we stand for is red hot. It's the truth. Hey, this, hey, you're still listening? Don't get bored with this. Not easy for me to keep come walk up here, but I'm gonna. You gotta be listening. I'm not that boring. Okay? Come on. Come on, let's rise up as a church. Let's rise up into this. There's a battle going on. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, and their hate for everything we stand for is red hot. This was written in December of 2019. And it was actually a letter because we had given money to them. And it was a thank you letter. Okay? But the church is going to go from glory to glory. We're moving into more revelation of the laws that govern the flow of the miraculous. Signs and wonders. What shines on us and through us will prevail over the darkness coming against us. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord always raises up a standard against him. Guess what that standard is? It's the Word of God. It's time for the church to rise up with what is rising up within us, be strong, and do exploits. In this time of great darkness upon the wicked in the world, I am to say to you, unto the righteous there arises light in the darkness. And the darkness cannot comprehend or overcome light. So make your light shine. Quit hiding it. Get into the Word. Get into God. You don't have to be a... You can have fun. In fact, we have more fun. I had 10 times more fun than I was drinking in the world, smoking in the world, running around with goofed... Never mind. I had much more fun. And now it's been 40 more years. Because I was almost 40 when I got born again. And now 40 more years have passed. Much more fun. Do not fear the darkness. Do not fight flesh and blood. That's the key right there. Exercise your authority over the forces of darkness in the spirit realm. Guard your heart against the spirit of hatred and division that is prevalent amongst the children of wrath. Okay? I'm going to say something here. There is so much out there. I mean, I was even on my phone this morning looking at stuff, and you can get so mad at certain names of people, so angry. But just know this. In Ephesians 6, 12, it says we are not fighting flesh and blood people. We are fighting principalities. Those are little demons. Powers are little bigger than them. spiritual wicked. Wait a minute. No, it's rulers of the darkness of this world. Well, you can imagine going to a bar. It's dark. Where dark places. Yeah, there's demons in there kind of like puppeteering the people. That's who's afflicting Nancy Pelosi and a lot of the people, you know, but you have to forgive them or you're going to be in unforgiveness. And that's huge. Okay, they are being ruled by principalities and powers. What you need to do is pray that someone's going to come a witness to them and they're going to receive it. Maybe they won't. If they don't, they don't. But there's a heaven and there's a hell. And you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And your spirit, you're a spirit being. You have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. And you live in a body. When this body dies, it falls on the floor. But do you know people who have had an experience? They said they could see their body on the gurney or in the emergency room. They could see people working on it. you still have a soul and a spirit. And that soul and spirit's going to go one of two places, heaven or hell. And there's no in-between place either, like I was taught. No in-between. Shine the light of peace, love, joy, and worry-free living. It's greater than the hatred, the spirit of division and tension that is in the world. He wrote this in December. He probably wrote it in November, getting it ready. Because I know pastors do that because they got to get, you know, send a letter to everybody who gave to him. So he was right on the money because it's still happening. Your fearlessness to walk in the light of the revelation of the Lord will be a clear sign to the enemy that he is doomed. And I believe we have been a clear sign that he's doomed. You know what? I don't trust myself balance-wise, but I kick my leg. Well, whoop, I did it. Okay, would you please put up there Philippians 1:28 out of the Amplified? Why did I step so far? Because you were sleeping. Don't make me do that. Okay, not yet. And do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries. For such constancy and fearlessness. Do you see? You're constantly fearless of the opponents that come against you and about what you read and not scared of this. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna get this. I'm gonna get that. You don't have to be scared. You're fearless because you know God. I mean, I never had one fear, honestly, through this whole thing. Wait, where was I? Okay. Such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, a proof, and a seal to them, to the adversary, to the demonic spirits of their impending destruction. But a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation, and that is from God. You know, a token, do you know what a token is? A token is a sign. The rainbow is a sign that God would never flood the earth again. The whole earth at once. He would never, that's what the rainbow, that's a token. Well, you know what? Your own body, being fearless, can be a token because there are spirits watching you. There's angels too. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. God is greater than any of those. But let's face it, folks, they are there. They're called family, familiar spirits too. But when they see the light in you, it's like a token, like the rainbow is about storms. And you're going like this to them, and they go, oh, let's get out of here. They ain't the ones to harass. They'll get out. It is. You don't realize the light that you have when you follow God. And at the same time, it's fun. Okay, you know, I don't know. God just gave me all this. Ken, I'm sorry I'm taking up a lot of your time. Praise God. Okay. I'm going to say this again now. This is for the tithes and offerings, but all of this was. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Put it up there. I think I read it last week. Did I? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't. Yeah. No. You can do it out of the Amplified. Matthew 22:37, Amplified. there was, you know, the Pharisees, they were always trying to trap him. And they said, verse 36, let's go to verse 36 first. Sorry. Teacher, which kind of commandment is great and important? The principal kind in the law. Some commandments are light, which are heavy? He replied to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind or your intellect. In fact, in the Hebrew, you shall love means you shall worship the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and every thought you think. In the Hebrew, it actually says every thought you think. Next verse. This is the great and most important and principal and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. Some people don't love themselves, so it's hard for them to love other people. Don't get mad at them. Love them the best you can. And realize maybe they're having a hard time because they never were loved. These two commandments, loving the Lord, loving your neighbor, are summed up and depend on all the law and prophet. Okay, well, what does that mean? Go back to Matthew 5, verse 23 and 24. Let's do this one out of King James. Now, what are we doing right now? We're taking the tithes and offerings. We're bringing a gift to the altar. Okay? There, this is what it says. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there rememberest that that brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Because, yes, it says in the Bible to tithe in Malachi. People have trouble with that. I'll tell you what, all I can say, it's like the best insurance policy in the world. But I'm not going to go there today. It really is. People attest, and I can attest, our finances went up. Weird. It's just weird. But anyway. Okay, what was I going to say? Leave it there. Now go to verse 44 through 48, King James. And the Lord said this, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Bless them. Hey, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children, next verse, of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans do the same? Heathen people do the same thing. In all honesty, are you doing this though? Somebody comes against you. You think, I'm not going to give them a birthday present this year. Seriously, we do that.
That's the truth.
Be honest. In all of this stuff, be honest about it. You think, I'm not going to give to that. They were mean to me. See, it's supposed to be just the opposite. Are we really doing this? And if you salute, verse 47, you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do? Well, let's just say, you know, Alicia and I got in a fight. My granddaughter. Anyway, she knows I'm kidding. But, And so, you know, somebody comes, all the people come to church, and I say, hi, how are you today? Oh, hi, how are you? Oh, I love you. And she comes past, I go like this. Stick my nose up in the air. Now, honest to God, how often do we do that? Be honest. And it says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is his heaven, is perfect. Okay. I'll go to Matthew 11. And that would be verse 25 and 26. I meant Mark 11. No wonder it didn't make sense. I thought, that's not right. King James. Oh, come on. Okay. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. That's huge. It's really huge. I do have a couple more. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Do it out of the Amplified. All I'm saying, what I started out with, you shall love the Lord. What is the greatest command? If you obey that love command, you will be obeying all the Ten Commandments anyway. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. On this hang all the law and prophets. What does that mean? None, tithing isn't going to work unless you love, unless you forgive. Asking God for finances is not going to work unless you forgive. Healing isn't going to work unless you forgive. None of the promises that God died on the cross for are going to work without you forgiving. You know, you could give $1 million check and it's not going to reap because you're in unforgiveness towards someone. Okay, Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. This is a New Testament command. But only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. In other words, don't gossip. And as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. Next verse, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieve means cry. We can make the Holy Spirit literally cry when we are sitting there putting down other Christians. Do not offend or vex, or sadden him. Witchcraft term. By whom you are sealed, marked and branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption. Do you know it? Once you become born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, and that's a seal that you're branded by Him. Like they brand cows or animals. You're branded by the Holy Spirit. Verse 31, let all bitterness, get rid of the bitterness of all the junk that's happening out there. They're being ruled by demons. And the indignation and the wrath and the passion and the rage and the bad temper and resentment and the anger and the animosity and quarreling and brawling and clamor and contention and slander evil speaking, abusive, or blasphemous language. Be banished from you as a Christian with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. And become, next verse, useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. Okay, next one, last one, promise. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. So if, in all honesty, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, it'd be better you didn't give anything. Clothe yourself, therefore, as God's own chosen ones, his own picked representatives, who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God himself, because you're born again, by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, a kind feeling, a lowly opinion of yourself, gentle ways and patience, which is tireless and long-suffering, and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. Be gentle and forbearing with one another. Forbearing means have a lot of patience. Don't give up on people. And if one has a difference, a grievance, or complaint against another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. And above all these, put on love and enfold yourself with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. So, you know, if you don't forgive, your Heavenly Father can't forgive. So before you give your gift, forgive. You know what? We'll just stay up for that. Just say this. I will never permit any unforgiveness or judgment about anyone to enter my mind at all. I refuse to think about evil. I refuse to be resentful or hold a grudge against anyone. No matter what they have done to me, I forgive right now. No matter what they have said about me, I will not permit it to affect me. In my heart, in my spirit, I love everyone because you said, Lord, if I am born again, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. So I will not let my mind to dominate. I will let my spirit dominate. And I declare, I have the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name. And let's just say this. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I ask you to be Lord over my life. I ask you to be Lord over my thoughts. And my words, what I see, what I listen to, what I say, where I go, and who I hang around. I ask you to just take over and lead me and guide me daily, for I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. Amen. Okay, did we pass out the envelopes?